Oh, baby, baby, week one. Look, we are back on Tuesdays, which can only mean, well, it can only mean one thing. Football season is here. All of the talk and speculation and bullshit and the arguing over two spots of ADP constantly and nonstop. Who's going to survive the Leonard Fournette barrage at running back? Well, everyone did so far, so we can put that to bed. There's so much more to get into, and I just can't wait. We, of course, are bringing back our player picks game. We have replaced the Fab game because got absolutely dominated in that. It was quite unfair, I will say. And, of course, Lucas now stepping in to the big time with Jacob and I on the flagship program. Of course, this is Full Tilt Fantasy Football. I'm ready to get in. These guys are ready to get in. Let's fire. Week one, baby. Woo! Unreal. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, man, lots of drafts. We needed a preseason game, Lucas. Yeah, I know. Look, we've had enough of those. Look, we have done everything this offseason from best ball to Jacob launching, thinking about thinking, Lucas going on a top secret covert mission that he wasn't allowed to talk about. We have survived some ups and downs, and I can't think of a place I'd rather be than back here. The podcast has been sporadic. It has been all over the place. This was our least structured offseason. But look, we all had very important things going on. So everyone that stuck around and kept hanging on and waiting for the episodes, we appreciate you, but we're back. We're back and we're here for the season. We're not missing one. We're going from start to finish today. Let's just talk about what we're breaking down today. Okay, we have our week one player picks. Obviously, we're going to hit that. Billy left a defending champion, so shout out to Billy. Winner of this will pick the other two host drinks for the live draft show, which will be returning this year. Can't wait for that. We're going to do our fantasy football MVP picks, our fantasy sleeper MVP picks, our Mr. Irrelevance, a player people have loved that we have not, our biggest future regret, a player we have faded or trashed that will come back to haunt us, some Super Bowl predictions and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Our own fantasy stock exchange, as Jacob is going to get us in on that. We can't wait. And of course, I've written it in, so Jacob has to give me one, but I'm getting a fantasy hot take from him, even though he's avoided it all offseason. I've written it in, so we're getting it. Of course.
I'm given one. I have one. It's pretty hot.
I commented in the show sheet.
You commented. Oh shit!
I can't wait. And I think there's going to be some people here that feel the same way. Of course, I'm Thomas Tipple, your host with the most time in his hands. Joining me is at Jacob Sanderson, Mr. Thinking About Thinking himself, and of course at Lucas Gilbert. If he hasn't changed his Twitter handle yet, I really hope that he does, as I force him to do so in a very Drew manner. You can find us there, and of course you can head over to the Full Tilt Dynasty Discord. All right, let's go. I want to go right in. Look, news, you're not getting it from us. There's 672,421 podcast articles, tweets or X's, whatever the fuck. It's not going to be from us. Okay, so we're going to go right into it. Number one, I want one fantasy hot take from each of us, and I'm going to start with Jacob's.
All right. Hot takes. My hot take, and I really hope this comes true, because a lot of what I tend to do almost every fantasy season is I kind of pick an offense that I think has the potential to be undervalued in a way that compounds. And last year for me, that was really the Eagles, and that came through in a big way. I've certainly had other years where it comes through in a big L way. This year, I'm hoping that it's this team. And I think that all of the ingredients are right. We already know that one aspect of this offense is an undeniable talent who has flashed a fantasy-breaking ceiling, who's flashed an NFL number one seed in the regular season, having MVP winning season. And you change the coaching staff in, I think, a really positive direction. You change the weapons in a really positive direction. The weapons that they already had that I really like are healthy now when they haven't been healthy in a long time. My hot take is that the Baltimore Ravens lead the entire NFL in scoring. And that basically it leads to a situation where every single member of this offense is on the top of every fantasy leaderboard, from dynasty risers, best ball win rates, guys you need to have in high stakes. I think this will be the season of the Baltimore Ravens in the NFL and in fantasy. And I want every single aspect of their offense, of course, led by no one else other than Lamar Jackson.
Baby, 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 what a take. Oh, Josh, what up, baby? Much love to you, man. Coming to harass me about my video game playing. Yeah, we do the fantasy here too. That is a insane take. Not insane in the fact that I think that's not possible. I think it's insane that we're finally at a point where they could do it. You're not wrong when they said they changed the coaching staff for the better. I mean, the preseason, this offense looked like Josh Johnson could lead this team to 12 to 13 wins. Like, the offense is more advanced, but it's also simple in regards to its how it can function. You're getting a guy, Lamar Jackson, who in back-to-back years, like you said, was off to MVP race. He was the favorite the last 2 years, all the way up to like week 9 or 10. We're not talking by a little bit. He was smashing at that point, and he gets hurt. Well, their offensive line is a lot healthier. Hopefully they don't have to rotate their star left tackle in and out, drive to drive, driving me absolutely insane. And can we just say, okay, I don't have to come onto this podcast every week and bitch about Greg Roman anymore.
I'm going to really miss that. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy watching the Greg Roman offense, and I won't miss Greg Roman's presence, but I will miss Tom's Greg Roman face memes, and I'll miss like just getting texts from Tom at like 2 p.m. on a Sunday, just in all caps being like, "Arg, Greg Roman!" Like, I miss that.
There are a few things that can make Tom go into a full tilt more than Greg Roman schemes. That's definitely going to be missed. We'll probably have to cover a whole extra hour on the show throughout the season that was going to be spent talking about Greg Roman, but it is what it is.
That'll all go to Sam Darnold now.
Oh, baby, we're one injury away. We're one injury away from MVP Sam Darnold, and boy, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that day. I love that hot take, Jacob. I think it makes sense. When an offense goes from having Patrick Ricard leading the team in targets at halftime to not having to do that, and DeMarcus Robinson isn't your number one receiver for 4 or 5 weeks, it's, you know, that you're right. I'm a little worried about the advanced passing scheme, but we're going to have lots of time to talk about that. I didn't even know that Lamar Jackson, well, I knew, but they didn't actually say it, wasn't allowed to change the play. He wasn't even allowed. All those times I'm yelling, snap the ball, break the huddle, what the fuck are we waiting for, was just so he couldn't, basically. So it explains so much as to how that team would operate, but that's enough. That's enough from that on the offense. This could be a Ravens podcast, and I don't want to do that to people. Not again, and not this early. Look, my hot take. All right, I know that there's a whole fan base going to come from my throat for this, but the Lions might be a fraudulent offense this year. Look, they're a fourth in fantasy points per game total in the league, and they did this being 20th in routes run, 13th in rushing attempts. They only had a 9.4 deep throw percentage. They only had 7 total fumbles from their receivers and running backs. That's nuts. Both of those are bottom 10 in the league, by the way. Jared Goff only had a 3.4% turnover worthy throw percentage. And this defense has gotten better. We'll see if it actually has. And their premier field stretching soon to be mega star wide receiver that I ate so much shit on for putting down Jameson Williams all off season isn't even going to be there. So this offense, which was quite clearly one of the most efficient and dumbfounding offenses in the entire league, is going to have to repeat the extreme explosive tendencies while also being hyper efficient. And somehow this is a team that's like a sleeper favorite for the playoffs. If you look at Vegas odds, something's not adding up. We're talking about Jared Goff, who essentially had to have a near career year. We've seen him blow up for a year in seasons past and then just fall apart. So I think that the Detroit Lions offense is going to have great pieces. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be great. Amon-Ra is inevitable. We know this. Everything else, question mark. Like Josh saying, is Josh Reynolds' season. It's never Josh Reynolds' season. So
no, it's certainly never been Josh Reynolds' season.
Correct. And I just have a hard time thinking this offense is going to get better. I think they exceeded expectations last year to an insane degree. And though they upgraded in some spots, this is still a team that took a running back in the first round and an off-ball linebacker in the first round. We're going to see how this organization uses it. Obviously, their OC, Ben Johnson, is phenomenal, but he's going to have to be the greatest offensive coordinator of all time, in my opinion, to have another insanely efficient, low turnover offense in the league with these guys. I don't see it. I see it for like three options. I think Jared Goff is going to be a fine QB2 all year. And again, Amon-Ra and Gibbs, great. Everyone else, I don't see it. I don't see this offense being this elite top tier fantasy producer that it's projected to be. That's it. Frauds. I'm saying it. Detroit Lions are frauds in 2023.
Dang, that's pretty hot.
Oh, I will also say data.
I agree with you. Whenever Jared Goff does best when we expect little of him. Jared Goff, his whole career is subverting our expectations. When we've entirely wrote him off, he comes on and he's pretty serviceable. When we start thinking that he's actually good, he reminds us that he's Jared Goff. I can't imagine confidently banking on Jared Goff, a slot wide receiver, and like their whole team is basically Jared Goff, a slot wide receiver, and some running backs and a rookie tight end. Seems bad.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I absolutely can't imagine. Lucas, comments? Whoa.
Don't really have too much from it. I mean, that's definitely a hot take. I think it's going to be a little better. I'm still expecting a top 10 offense from them. And primarily more, I'm expecting solid fantasy production from the players that you all kept talking about. But
good players are going to eat, but I think that offense full of frauds. Lucas, let's get that hot take.
All right. So my hot take, I figured since, you know, I'm new to being full-time on the show, that I had a little bit of, you know, a grace period where I can say some dumb things and not get killed too much for it. Or it's going to come back and you all will mention it every time I try to say, trust me on something, and you all go, we trusted you on this, and look at how well that turned out. So after seeing what you all have done and how hot of a take you all made, I needed to go scalding hot. Okay. And so I said that this season, not only will the New York Football Giants score more points than the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, they are going to be a top five scoring offense in the league.
That's oof. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me very much like D-Bro coming on this show and talking about how Daniel Jones and Darren Waller are going to be, you know, top two or three at their position, essentially. And that's giving me that vibe. I love that confidence. Don't agree.
So, but let me talk you into it a little bit. Okay. All right. So last year, they scored 21.5 fantasy points, or not fantasy points, points per game, regular points, points that actually show up on the scoreboard. That was 16th. the Aaron Rodgers led Packers were 14th at 21.8. That's, you know, that's fairly easy to match or get better.
Okay.
They were 18th with 339 yards per game. Packers only had four more. And that wasn't too far behind some of the other teams as you're working your way into the top 10. 5.1 yards per play is where they can increase the most to try to get into one of these higher echelon scoring offenses. They were only 5.1, well below the average of 5.8, and 22nd in the league. But they were elite whenever it came to actually finishing drives with points at 37.3% of the time. That is an elite number. It's what you want to see. I mean, it's not Kansas City elite, but nobody else is 46% of the time you're getting points. It just doesn't happen. I'm not saying number one, because that's even way too crazy for me. But it can happen. They have room for improvement. They have better weapons. Another year of Daniel Jones in the system. They actually have a field-stretching talent in Jalen Hyatt. Not that he's going to be a great fantasy player, but I think he will be very good for their scheme and help them out. It's coming, man. The only thing that can come back to bite me and would make this wrong is the fact that they turned the ball over the least in the league.
Is that about the fact that Daniel Jones is their quarterback? Could that come back to bite
you? Know,
that's
I've seen some crazy things. There can be more crazy things. Duke beat Clemson last night. Daniel Jones hails from Duke.
Oh,
it can happen. Easily drawing these connections here, okay?
There we go.
There it is. I oh man, they have 9 slot wide receivers plus Waller. It's gonna be I will say this though. Saquon Barkley, RB1 this year, is gonna be a ride.
And what team's carrying 9 defensive backs to cover all those slot receivers? I don't see any. I think it can work out.
Okay. Oh boy, man. Top 5. Look, Ravens scoring number 1. Giants scoring top 5.
Top 5. And
the Lions are fucking frauds. I think that's a pretty good way to end our beginning of the year hot take.
You got it.
Bit. We're going to be back in a second where we do player picks. I'll go over the rules one more time. We'll get through this pretty quick and move on to some of the other stuff here. Sit tight. Can't wait. Lock it in week 1. Woo! All right, if you're new here and you haven't seen this before, each week, I have not won this yet. I'm going to. This is going to be the year. Billy cleaned up last year, even though I led for like the first 10 weeks. It was complete and utter bullshit. But week 1, each host will take a quarterback and running back outside of the top 15, a wide receiver outside of the top 20, and a tight end outside of the top 10 in the Fantasy Pros Weekly Ranking PPR. So each week, what we're going to do, we're going to tally up the points for these players and have a running total throughout the year. The winner at the end of the year will get to pick the beverages of the other two hosts for the entire live NFL draft show that will be back this year. Lots on the line. Jacob really handed it to Billy in year 1. And look, this year, it was a wash. So I'm looking forward to being back heavy this year. I'm going to kick this one off because, yes, I did say the Lions offense were going to be frauds, but I need Jared Goff week 1. He's QB 17 this week. He has a pretty good matchup for the week. My running back is going to be Alexander Mattison at RB 21. We went down a little bit for a reach, but I like the matchup. Drake London at wide receiver 21. I fell right on that skirt. I mean, it's Drake London and it's Ritter up, baby. Let's do it. And at tight end, we're bringing him back because he lives in this spot. He is never inside the top 10 at tight end, but Cooper Kupp is out and Matt Stafford can only throw to tall guys. So hate crime Higbee, Tyler Higbee is back for me at tight end 12. We're kicking week 1 off with a bang. Jacob.
Let's do it. My quarterback one this week, going outside the top 12, it's going to be Sam Howell. Sam Howell gets the fake NFL team that is currently being called the Arizona Cardinals. He's going to run a little bit. They're going to throw a little bit. They're honestly probably going to do whatever the fuck they want to the Arizona Cardinals this week. I think Sam Howell has a chance to break into the top 12 with a couple of passing touchdowns and maybe 30, 40 rushing yards. Anybody that knows anything about the Green Bay Packers, especially in their in-division games, that they just don't even try to stop the run. It's not something that they focus on. I suspect that the Chicago Bears will be more than happy to oblige. And I don't know exactly how long Khalil Herbert's going to hang on to this job. I hope a long time. I love the talent, but I'm very confident starting in week one where he's going to be getting the bulk of the carries against the horrendous Green Bay Packers run defense. And then we go to wide receiver. Look, it's now or it's literally never. I'm proclaiming that in this week, with no Travis Kelce, with Kadarius Toney likely on a snap count, this man will be running routes against Noah fucking Gray, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Justin Watson, who's basically just white Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So if Sky Moore cannot see a 25% target share this week, it's never happening. I'm never mentioning him again on the show. I might even just drop him off on my dynasty leagues. I don't know. But it's now or never time for you, Sky. Sky's up this week against the Lions. And then we're going to go with the Ferg dog as the tight end choice. The New York Giants were an absolute embarrassment against the tight end position last year. We all remember the TJ Hockenson incredible stretch run in Minnesota. That was mostly just because he played the Giants twice and he had like 300 yards against them in 2 weeks. And it was absolutely obscene. Dallas Goedert sliced them up in the playoffs. Everyone who played the Giants last year just absolutely annihilated them. We'll see if they actually figure that out this week. I'm going to say not yet. And I'm going to take Jake Ferguson, who looks locked into a pretty high redshirt for the Cowboys. That is Sam Howell, Khalil Herbert, Sky Moore, Jake Ferguson.
That's a strong week one. I have a Sky Moore anytime touchdown bet this week in play right now. So I'm with you. I need it. I'm actually having to play him in a couple leagues. I need him. Lucas, week one. Let's go, baby.
All right. So my week one, I will say I got in my picks last and dang, I can feel it in my choices, especially at quarterback. So at quarterback, it's ugly. I don't feel good about it, but it's the best that I had left, and that is going to be Mr. Anthony Richardson, quarterback 16, going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wasn't a great defense last year, so just good enough to get to the playoffs, and I feel fairly confident about at least what his rushing threshold is going to be. After that, Raheem must start at running back 28 against the Chargers. I really like Devin Akane. He still seems a little banged up. I think that this is fairly safe right now, especially at RB28, to be able to plug him in here, get double-digit fantasy points. Let's move on to the next week and try to figure out something else. Following that will be Mr. Courtland Sutton. With presuming that Jerry Jeudy's out and how just atrocious the Las Vegas Raiders were last season against any offense, I'm feeling pretty good about this. If he can see double-digit targets, maybe sneak in a touchdown. And yeah, that can definitely help me out. And I like him a lot better than Drake London and Sky Moore. That was the only one I felt pretty good about after all these picks. And because we have to play a tight end, even though it's gross, especially after the top 12, Mr. Gerald Everett, he has the best tight end matchup this week against the Miami Dolphins, and he is tight end 16. So that is my team heading into week one. Ready to start off on the bottom.
Oh, baby. It might be tough for you. I'm not going to lie. We got a lot of sky mids here, and I don't know if
that's the sky faders and the sky haters had a great year. And they're either about to declare victory for life or they're going to be fucking shaking in their boots by Thursday night. One of the two. We'll see.
Amazing. I absolutely love that.
I've never felt like normally we always say like the don't react to 1 week, don't react to 1 week. Overreact to Sky Moore's week one performance. That's my take. Whatever it is, fucking react. Like I will absolutely write that dude off for life if he doesn't do anything on Thursday, I promise you. But I'm expecting big things.
I love that. We're going to be right back. We come back. Jacob's got a new game that we are debuting tonight. When we come back, Jacob will take that away. Let's go. Take us away, Jacob. What do we have right now?
All right, welcome into the Full Tilt Stock Exchange. People will recall, last year I ran a waiver game. It became pretty annoying because I had to keep track of everybody's bids. I had to get everybody's bids. I had to keep track of all the money they had left. That created additional work for me that I didn't want to do. So I decided this year we're doing a slightly different game. This also is the Full Tilt Dynasty podcast. So this is a more dynasty-centered game, and it's easier for me to keep track of. And that's the real key to this game. Here's the deal. Everyone is going to pick a player. You can pick maximum one player each week that you think is going to rise in value. Okay. And we're going to be using Bulletproof's ADP. We're going to keep that stable throughout the season. And it'll be of the month that we're in. So right now we're talking about August ADP. We're going to move on, you know, September ADP, October ADP, etc. The game is pretty simple. The goal is by the end of the year, you want to have the highest total net ADP growth. So if you pick Rashad Bateman, you want him to go up in ADP. If you pick whoever else, them to go down in ADP, or you don't want them to go down in ADP. I'm going to add it up. It's also going to be a weighted growth, okay? So for instance, if you pick someone in the first round, obviously they can't go down up as much as they can go down. It's going to be weighted. So it's going to be based on a percentage. And I'm going to hit with a little formula, so the percentage will be flattened a little bit out at the top that I'm not going to go into. But it's going to be based on weighted share of ADP growth. So if someone goes from like the 9th overall pick to the 6th overall pick, that's going to be roughly similar to if they go from like the 90th overall pick to the 60th overall pick. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yep. I'm ready, baby.
All right. So, the last thing is you can only have 5 players at a time. And that's only because I don't want to keep track of 17 players. So once you hit a maximum of 5, if you want to just keep your 5, you can keep your 5. At any time in the week, you can add a maximum of 1 player each week to your group. And you can also sell a maximum of 1 player. So if you're taking a player now, let's say we get to week 6 and you think, you know what, I think I've ridden this train out as much as I can, or, oh my God, this player can't go any lower, I'm going to sell them. You can sell. You can get off the train at any time. You don't have to keep 5. It's just obviously if those are empty slots, they can't be gaining for you. So you have to have a minimum of 1 and a maximum of 5 at all times. Any other questions on the rules?
No, I'm ready, baby. I absolutely love this. This will be a good way to like make sure you're staying locked in because midseason drafts are coming, right? And this is going to help. I can't wait for midseason drafts. They're so good.
All right, Tom, why don't you take it away with your first pick?
Look, my first pick is real simple. We like quarterbacks. When quarterbacks play, they gain value. I feel like I'm cheating here, but I'm taking the aforementioned Sam Howell. He may get replaced by like week 6. We don't know. But for right now, I just need to see that bad boy play. When he plays, that value is going up. We're taking low-hanging fruit here. We're taking Sam Howell.
All right. Sam Howell. Lucas, who you got? Oh, and for the record, just so we're all locked in, Sam Howell's current ADP is the 908. Current ADP is the 908. Lucas, who have you got?
All right. So I don't really play the stock market too much, but I have tried and I have failed very often. And it's primarily because I like to go after penny stocks. So I found myself a little penny stock here that I'm hoping I can sell for a dollar sometime in the next couple of weeks. And that is Mr. Evan Hull for the Indianapolis Colts. With what's going on currently with Jonathan Taylor's whole situation and the fact that I do not believe in Zach Moss or Deion Jackson, I think Evan Hull has a very good chance to gain some cheap value early on, move from the RB60s, which I last saw he was at approximately. And if he gets into the RB40s, that's still going to be a massive ADP increase. He can't really fall much lower than RB60 either way. So I feel pretty safe. It's hard for a penny stock to get less than a penny. So sticking with Evan Hull, and hopefully I can sell him here real soon.
All right. I talked about being all in on the Ravens this year from every possible angle. So I'm going to plant my flag on one of the members of the Ravens in my most drafted of all, or my second most drafted actually of all the Ravens in best ball season this year. But I think a guy with a lot of room to grow up, Rashad Bateman. Rashad Bateman last year, well over 2 yards per route run, 23% targets per route run. They had this weird thing where they like to rotate all their receivers around, even though he was clearly the best receiver on the team. Greg Roman's a total moron. People forget that the Ravens offense was really good last year until Rashad Bateman went out. And then they had to start a bunch of non-NFL wide receivers, and then they became really bad. So I think that spoke fairly well to Bateman's talent. Cluster this year with Flowers, with Odell Beckham. Nobody knows exactly how the routes are going to be distributed, but I'm betting on what I see is the talent bet that is way more affordably priced than Zay, who I like also, to help be one of the reasons why the Ravens offense takes off and also be one of the beneficiaries of everything going on around him. Give me Rashad Bateman, and he checks in with an ADP of 10.09. Evan Hull, by the way, 16.12.
It's not me this year, guys. It's Jacob. Okay, it's not me this year. It's Jacob.
I adopted the Ravens as my honorary team this year, so I'll be rooting alongside Tom every week, or mourning alongside Tom every week. One of the two.
I don't just want to cry at the Colts. I mean, I'm going to be sad whenever the Broncos lose all their games this season after trading stupid draft capital to get Sean Payton. Just suffer. It's more fun that way. It's always fun to hate yourself just a little bit.
How does it feel knowing your team has mortgaged your future for quite possibly an over-the-hill quarterback and probably an over-the-hill coach?
I'm wearing a Denver Nuggets hat. That's how it feels.
What a goated reply. Oh, my God. We're going to take a second. When we come back, look, we have some quick segments for everybody. We're going to do our fantasy MVPs, our sleeper MVPs, all of that to get everyone set for week one. I can't believe we are just a couple days away. Sit back, relax. 3 second break coming right up. Okay, I think these are going to be the most self-explanatory, so we can kind of dive right in. Who is going to be the fantasy football MVP? I'll kick this one off. His ADP was slipping in the third round at the middle of the season, and it did not pick up to the mid-second round until very late in the offseason, almost recently. Before he got injured, he was one of the most electric players in the league. Had he not been hurt, he would be a locked and loaded first-round startup pick. We would have two running backs drafted in the first round of Superflex drafts. Breece Hall is going to be healthy in the back half of the season. I know Dalvin Cook is there. I truly believe he's there for the first part of the year. Breece Hall was a phenomenal talent out of college, a phenomenal prospect, and was breaking fantasy football before his injury. He seems healthy. He played a little bit in the preseason. All systems go for Breece Hall, and you got him at a discount in both redraft and dynasty. I think in the back half, this could very well be an 18 to 21 point per game player, which will win you leagues, especially if he was your second or third pick in all of your drafts. Breece Hall is going to be the fantasy football MVP in 2023.
Love it.
Strong.
I'm staying right there in New York. I'm still going with Garrett Wilson. He was the guy that I drafted a ton of last year. He's risen a ton in value. I am still seeing a little bit of the FUD on the timeline. How high can we push him up? How high can we push him up? I think he hasn't been pushed up, frankly, quite high enough. I was hoping to come onto the show after just big dick clicking him at the 108 in a $350 seasonal draft. Christian McCaffrey fell to us, so that opportunity was robbed from us. But I believe, personally, once we get past the group of Jefferson, Chase, Hill, formerly Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, I think he's the best pick available. Because when I look at all the rest of these guys, from Amon-Ra, A.J. Brown, Lamb, Adams, incredible receivers all around, Waddle, to me, Wilson is the one who brings together the chance of absolutely dominating at every single level of the field, from short area and intermediate guy to a deep threat to a red zone threat to an after-the-catch threat. Has absolutely no target competition around him, where he isn't just going to have that chance to hit the 25, 27% target share, but at his ceiling can see that 30, 33% truly alpha target share that some of these other guys in more talented rooms can't quite hit. And then add to all that the chance that he gets to play in a legitimately strong offensive environment, possibly with Aaron Rodgers. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But if Rodgers is what I still think he has another season left of, Wilson becomes a complete dominator all the way across. And I think that we could be talking about him as really a group of four between him and Bijan and Chase and Jefferson as the only position players we're talking about in the first round of startups next year. So I think Garrett Wilson, to me, wide receiver three in dynasty formats. I think he's a top five wide receiver in redraft formats, has an absolutely massive year.
Man, not looking great for Lucas's opening hot statement about the Jets offense. Last two times, Aaron Rodgers didn't have finger problems. He was the MVP. So we'll see what he does in New York. Lucas, hit us. Fantasy MVP in 2023.
So I did not choose a New York Jet to be a fantasy MVP in 2023.
I really hope you didn't. There's not a lot left. I don't know if you want Alan Lazard.
You know, we might see Alan Lazard later on in one of our other segments, but
no.
In all seriousness, though, the fantasy MVP I have right now is Mr. Mark Andrews. You know, I got to get Thomas a little bit more hype that we all believe so much in the Baltimore Ravens. And going at the back end of the third round right now in your redraft leagues, going also in the third round of your dynasty startups, he seems to be, from a dynasty perspective, the most obvious tight end pick that you can have. He is a premium player at a position where whenever you have that advantage, it's hard to make up for across any other position. And he's going at this cost, allowing you to draft other high-value players in your first two rounds. He's going to finish in the top 10 in fantasy wins above replacement this year. That is almost a guarantee to happen if he can even keep a modest pace of what he was doing throughout the first 6 weeks last season, where he had 5 touchdowns, over 350 receiving yards. I'm really excited about him. I'm even more excited about the cost. Heck, if he was in the second round, I'd still be this excited, but the fact that you can get him in the third and he will be one of the top 10 most valuable players this year. Easy pick. Easy pick for fantasy MVP, Mr. Mark Andrews.
Oh, man. You guys are just...
Every Raven is getting a mention today. Tom's just like, he's going to need a cold shower after the show.
I can't stand up. I got to be honest. We'll get a strike and ban from YouTube and Twitch if I were to stand up right now. So we're not going to do that. it's not me. I know I get a lot of shit for talking Ravens on this show, but it's not me. We have a question here from Michael Bencia. A slight tier break between Wilson and A.J. Brown, C.D. Amon-Ra then? Question.
Amon-Ra, yes. I would say yes, Amon-Ra. I wouldn't say a tier break between Wilson, AJB, and CD. More just a preference.
All right. I love that. Next up, this one's going to be real good. The sleeper MVP. This is a little bit different. The most valuable sleeper that you're going to have on your roster. Jacob, I want to start with you.
Most valuable sleeper. This one, we're steering into the skid. I get that the people are scared about the preseason usage. People are fighting all over the timeline. People are wetting their pants everywhere you look. I don't care. I'm standing firm as the breeze whips through my hair and the wind rattles through my shirt, and I'm continuing to draft Greg Dulcich.
Okay.
I think that we already, I mean, Greg Dulcich is 238 pounds. Okay. He was not going to be out there run blocking on every snap. He wasn't run blocking on every snap last year. The way teams play offense in the preseason is constantly overusing base packages versus what they actually do in games. We're using more tailored usage patterns to what you're actually play calling. People were making comparisons to Albert O, who was running with like the fourth team offense, playing the fourth quarter of preseason games, versus Greg Dulcich, who ran more routes than Adam Trautman in the last preseason game. I still think we're going to see a 70 to 75% route share when all things are said and done. You look at how much 12 personnel are going to have to play. Their wide receiver room is extremely bleak. And then you just get into the situation where I believe he's good. He's going to get an opportunity to play. I think he's going to make plays. And the team is going to be like, oh, would we like to play the good player or Adam Troutman? And I think by week 9, that decision is going to be somewhat clear. So I still think Greg Dulcich, as he falls, you're even getting a bet now that you're basically just free rolling the upside, especially in seasonal formats. And if you cut him, you don't even care. So I am still in on Greg Dulcich's ceiling to potentially be that top 6 to top 8 tight end. And I think that the floor is more secure than people might imagine, where I think he's still running at least like a 60 to 65% Jared Cook-esque route share in this offense. Give me Greg Dulcich as my sleeper.
Man, that is so sick. I love that pick. You're really sticking to it. I wasn't sure if you would.
I'm standing by my man.
But you are, man, I just hope one day Aaron stands by me the way you stand by Greg Dulcich. You're a good man. You're a good man, Jacob. Lucas, hit me.
All right. This might be the most popular player at the end of your fantasy football drafts, but he is that for a reason, and that's Mr. Jalen Warren.
Tony Pollard 2.0.
Yeah, but you know, I couldn't be that original with my takes on him. So just very bluntly here, you've heard about Jalen Warren all offseason. Everybody absolutely loves him. He is the more efficient, more explosive, arguably more talented running back out of the two in Pittsburgh, but he doesn't have first round draft capital. So we will see what his usage ends up being. But with the touches he gets, he incredibly outperforms Najee Harris in every aspect of the game. Najee Harris, according to Fantasy Points data suite, which is really sweet. See what I did there? He has double the percentage of his runs that go for 15 yards or more. He has 5 times fewer runs inside of the 5-yard line, but Najee Harris only has double the touchdown rate. Najee Harris scores a touchdown less than 3% of the time he touches the ball. Jalen Warren is at 1.3%. So with far fewer premium touches, with far fewer opportunities, he is doing so much more than Mr. Najee Harris. Now, I love Najee's volume. That's always fun to have. But if the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the thick of a playoff hunt and there's a clear discrepancy of who is being most productive for their team going down the stretch, they're going to give it to the more talented back, and that's Mr. Jalen Warren.
Okay, you're talking the preseason sleeper. I say Tony Pollard 2.0 because he's being hyped that way, and I have said it. I said it when Najee got drafted. He's expensive James Conner. Now, the way I describe him is Najee Harris at his current age of 24, 25 years old already runs like 26, 27-year-old Zeke. So the parallels are right there for Jalen Warren. I'm going to be a little forward with my sleeper MVP. I don't know how people have just decided that this player's not worth mentioning all offseason. The Kansas City Chiefs did not really address their running back room. Yes, they're bringing Clyde back, and Pacheco really hits the ground hard when he runs, and it's really fun to watch. But Jerick McKinnon literally won leagues last year, games of 30 points. Jerick McKinnon down the stretch was more valuable than Travis Kelce was to your fantasy teams. He was more productive. That's insane. Jerick McKinnon has some of the statistics you wish your favorite running back got. Check this out. He was 9th in targets at the position. His targets per route run, better than Josh Jacobs at 0.22. He was 9th in receptions, 10th in yards per route run, and running backs who played 15 or more games. He's durable, and he produces. He had the same yards per target as Tony Pollard at 7.42. His 30.1 receiving yards per game, 5th in the league. He is insane at doing the things we love a running back to do. And we're just like, nah, we're going to let him be free. Free! You can get him at the end of every draft. Redraft. He's waivers on some dynasty teams for some reasons. I get that we want Pacheco to be a thing. He's still a seventh round running back, right? Sixth, seventh round. We know how they hold up in fantasy football. This is a dynasty show. We definitely know how they hold up in dynasty. Just take the cheaper, productive, and, well, better player in Jerick McKinnon. He gets goal line work. He does everything. He does absolutely everything and doesn't look like he's lost a step. He's just free. You should be going and trading for him right now. Go right now. They play on Thursday. You have time. Go play. Go get him now. Jerick McKinnon is going to be the sleeper MVP of the 2023 fantasy season, just based on how they use him and his production at his low, low price of free spark score legend and one of Jacob's former favorites, Jerick McKinnon, finally coming through. We're going to take a quick second when we come back. We're going to hit our next two before we get out of here. We're going to get out of here on time. I can feel it. I love the vibe for week one this year. Gang's back together. Sit tight. Okay, coming up, it's going to be pretty important to nail these next two, I really feel like. Because if we don't, these are the ones that are going to hurt the most, in my opinion. We are going to do Mr. Irrelevant. Okay, this is not your Brock Purdy's. Okay, we're going to go the other way. A player people have loved that we don't. Who is going to be your Mr. Irrelevant, Jacob Sanderson?
I have dogged this guy on the show a few times. He's come down a little bit in ADP value, but he was still floating well above the running back dead zone for most of this offseason. And it's Miles Sanders for me. He's not a three-down back because he's only ever caught passes in his rookie year. We have all of the rest of his career at Penn State with the Eagles, proves that he is not an effective pass catcher. I don't care how many coach quotes there are about wanting him to be that. I want a lot of things. I want a free pizza tonight. I want to win Best Ball Mania 3. I want an opportunity to make millions of dollars while setting my own hours every day. You know, we all have wants. We all have dreams. I'd like a new suit. But I can want Miles Sanders to be a receiving back all I want. He isn't one. So I'm thinking that Miles Sanders is going to be a two-down grinder, giving 30% of the carries to Chuba Hubbard on one of the worst offenses in the NFL this year. That doesn't seem particularly appealing to me. He'll basically have the Isaiah Pacheco role, but not on the Chiefs. So I'm not interested in Miles Sanders.
Yeah, a lot of people like to refer back to his rookie year when he did catch passes and completely ignore the fact that they probably just thought he wasn't good enough to continue to have him to do it. So you can't do one and not have the other. That's being biased. So I agree. There was a little bit of time where I was in on him, and I quickly realized my mistakes and faded back down. I'm right there with you, but we will hear about it from Dave in the chat. Discussing Slime Sanders. If he pops off, you know he's going to hear it. We also have Esquired Ron. Esquired?
A squared Ron.
Got you. MT is the sleeper of the year. Vintage wide receiver one season coming. Yeah, I hope not for all my Chris Olave bags. I'm probably going to offend.
It'd be nice. I have Michael Thomas kicking around on a lot of dynasty rosters still, but I'm not putting a whole lot of hope into it.
I'm probably going to offend some people with mine, and I'm prepared to do that. But look, Elijah Moore is going to absolutely break hearts. I get that we finally got him out of New York, but he didn't necessarily go to a better situation. I fully believe he would have been better off staying in New York with the aging receiving room and Alan Lazard than he would have been in Cleveland. Every camp report. And look, I get coach speak and camp reports don't mean much. Every camp report has been about how bad Deshaun Watson has been in this style of offense and how the Nick Chubb, Amari Cooper, David Njoku is getting the Phil Jackson treatment with the triangle. The offense is going to run through their triangle, and that's them. Donovan Peoples-Jones still on the field. So where is there room for this explosive elite upside in Elijah Moore? He's definitely a player that I'm not going to want to play every week. I'm not going to play him every week. And I know the hope from the Dynasty community is we're going to see year one Elijah Moore. I don't think we're doing that with Stefanski. I don't think we're getting that at all in Cleveland. I think his hype this year post-trade was insane. I know Scott Barrett loves him to death. He will forever be a homer for Mr. Elijah Moore. I don't see it in Cleveland. The only hope is when Amari Cooper is playing in a away game and we know he's going to suck, that you're going to be able to play Elijah Moore in his stead. Like, that's the only hope Elijah Moore has, in my opinion. I don't see the elite ceiling. I don't see the 8-touchdown, 9-touchdown ceiling for Elijah Moore. I just don't. So he's going to be Mr. Irrelevant to me in fantasy this year. Pretty confident with that.
And you're forgetting about stud rookie Cedric Tillman. You know, the guy that Randy Moss has claimed is the best wide receiver coming to the league in 20 years.
I'm buying into the Elijah Moore. I mean, almost every wide receiver is irrelevant, but as far as wide receivers in that range go, I'm about as excited about him as I am about anybody for sure. I'm pumped.
Oh no, you fell for it. All right, we're gonna have lots to talk about with him, Lucas.
All right, so Michael Spider-Man meme. Gosh,
for what it's worth, I like Bateman more.
Okay, see, there we go again. Pump that Ravens love up. Let's go.
All right. My Mr. Irrelevant is Mr. Alexander Mattison. You are having to draft
Alexander
him.
Alexander Mattison. His name is Alexander Mattison.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a time. You know, I remember back whenever we all loved Alexander Mattison. He was the running back handcuff you had to get every single season just because he was behind Dalvin Cook. And you know what? 2019, 2020, he looked good. But it's not 2019 or 2020 anymore. It is 2023. The last 2 years, he has seen a significant drop in his yards per carry. He has seen a drop in his usage in the passing game. And they've been drafting other running backs. Of course, they did end up cutting Dwayne McBride, which I was very sad about. Had him stashed on a lot of my dynasty teams. But he's just not that efficient. He's not that good right now. And he will only be an RB2 if he plays in every single game this season, which is asking for a lot. His final outlook might be fine. You might be okay with a running back 25 in your RB2 spot all season, but you're not going to be happy about how he got there. And that is why he is my Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, I really feel like we're just chasing Mike Davis with Madison on a team that's going to pass a lot more. I absolutely agree with you on that. I think he's a lock to be overrated. Speaking of things that could come back to bite us in the ass, let's talk about our future regrets. Every year we tend to take a player or fade a player that everyone loves, and it really comes back to bite us. So I think a player that you have faded that you might be thinking was wrong to, or that we're going to end up having major regrets on after the fact, is what we're going to tackle here. And Jacob, I'm looking at yours. And okay. Oh, boy. Hit us with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, definitely, it's, like, so clear to me. that, like, if anyone is going to, like, make me lose my mind this season, it's just continuing to draft Kyle fucking Pitts. And I promise you that if Kyle Pitts is a negative asset for me this year, I'm still going to keep drafting him next year. And if he's a negative asset for me that year, I'm still going to draft him the year after that. Because I realistically just don't even care at this point. His usage stats and his talent per base peripherals and his production are just like so much further apart than any player on planet Earth. That if he loses another season due to Arthur Smith's fuckery, I'm going to be so fucking annoyed. But at the same time, he probably doesn't even fit this question, because being able to draft this profile at this position of wasteland and tight end it's just not something that I'll realistically ever regret. And it's not something that I'm ever going to change. And I'm just going to keep pulling at the sword out of the stone until Excalibur comes out. So will I regret investing in Kyle Pitts heavily again this year? Honestly, no. Will I be extremely fucking mad about it? Yeah, probably.
It's going to come eventually. It has to, right? Oh, you think it absolutely has to. I don't think you're wrong for putting him there. I think he fits. God, I'm scared to play him every week. Last year was just so depressing because all of his outlying statistics were there and it never came through. So please let this be the year. I talked a lot of trash about George Kittle all offseason and I faded him. I've traded him. And like last year, he came back to bite me in the ass. Every time I played against him, he helped me win a couple championships against Jacob. And I love that. But I think we've seen the last of elite George Kittle. That offense has changed big time. He went on a Linsanity run at the end of the year with just touchdowns in every game, multiple touchdowns, absolutely played out of his mind, but we have seen a decline in his targets, target share, his yards per route run, and his productivity and games played, which is kind of the most important thing, over the last two or three seasons. And I don't see a world where with Debo healthy, McCaffrey healthy, Ayuk healthy, I don't see a place for George Kittle to even hit that top five, top seven tight end range, let alone those elite numbers anymore. And his price hasn't really reflected that. And I think that's going on previous production, a little bit of the name game, sticking to it, and the offense that he's in. I think it's going to come back to really, really bite people. However, there's also a chance that Mr. Touchdown comes out and has 8 to 12 touchdowns, which will absolutely fucking put him in that top five in tight ends and absolutely make me, scream into my pillow, walk into oncoming traffic, all the usual stuff you think about when you really regret something deeply and people come after you on the internet. George Kittle is going to somehow find a way to come back and bite me in the ass. I already know it. I'm ready for it, but I've said what I've said, and I'm digging my feet in. George Kittle is going to stink this year. There you go, internet. Eat your heart out.
All right. My player, who I think will come back to bite me and haunt me, is Mr. DeAndre Hopkins. Right now, in all of my redraft leagues, I'm sitting here in the 5th to 6th round, and most of the time, I already have two running backs because I like Jahmyr Gibbs too much to let him fall past the 3rd round. And goodness, Tony Pollard looks really awful good wherever you're getting him, either in the back half of the 1st or in the 2nd. And I usually only have one wide receiver going into the 5th because I'm going tight end or quarterback somewhere around in there. And DeAndre Hopkins is staring at me the whole time. But this whole offseason, you can look at fantasy Twitter, there's at least 1,000 tweets out there about what happens whenever a wide receiver over the age of 30 goes to the Titans, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, it's bad.
There's the misnomer that last season showed he was washed. Definitely wasn't as efficient as he used to be, but he was elite in terms of volume and was wide receiver 7 in points per game in the games that he played in. And dang, he looked really good with a Kyler Murray stack there while he was healthy. That he can be a top 12 wide receiver this season, but I'm way too scared to hit that draft button whenever I see his name, and I'm pivoting to other means, and I might really, really regret that whenever the season's coming around and I'm having to make trades for a wide receiver too because I screwed it up so much.
He feels like the player that every time he plays against you, he's going to go God mode and go 9 for like 135. And anytime you play him, he's going to have 8 awful targets for 3 catches and 25 yards. and you're going to constantly want to take him out of your lineup, but you're not going to be able to. So you're right. I do think he's going to come back and bite you in the ass. I have been buying in on the DeAndre Hopkins train because, again, his price, man.
He's wide receiver 38 right now in Dynasty, which seems like a very really obvious buy right now. I don't know what you can get him for, but going around like wide receiver 22 in redraft, that's what gives me the most pause. Dynasty, I'm much more willing to go in on him if I have a contending team, but redraft, it's really scary, man. Really scary.
Yeah, it's nightmare fuel. We have two more quick segments to get through before we get out of here, and we're going to make them quick. So sit tight and buckle in. It's going to be a wild ride down to the finish line here. As always, we're going to do Super Bowl predictions. We're doing it now. I want to start with Jacob's because it makes me so happy. So, Jacob, your Super Bowl prediction.
Hell yeah, man. Look, everybody obviously knows who I'm picking to win the Super Bowl this year. I've been talking them up all offseason. I've been talking them up all show. It's the Baltimore Ravens. It's the Baltimore
Ravens.
And who are they going to play in the Super Bowl? Look, I think that there's one team that people have been down on for no fucking reason all offseason in the NFC, and it's the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott is good, despite what the haters and the losers say on Twitter. I fully expect that his interception rate, instead of clanking a bunch of hands off or balls off of Noah Brown's hands this year, is going to go down to his normal career levels of being a below average turnover worthy play guy. Now that he has actual professionals running wide receiver routes instead of T.Y. Hilton being able to instantly step in as his wide receiver too at like 47 years old. They also are no longer going to be donating 250 touches to Ezekiel Elliott this year. So that seems like a big improvement. And then I see all people talk about how Mike McCarthy is all of a sudden going to be this massive boomer and they're not going to try and score points anymore and they're going to just establish the run. Well, the only problem with that is that if you look at everything they did this offseason, it would seem to suggest the exact opposite. This team let Ezekiel Elliott walk. The only running backs that they added were the 172-pound Deuce Vaughn and a suspended Ronald Jones. And then they went out and traded for Brandon Cooks. Does that seem like a team that wants to run the ball more? It seems like a team that does not want to run the ball more. Again, they had 524 touches to running backs last year. I think that that's probably coming down. I don't think it's going up. So I'm excited about what they're doing. Obviously, I love Dallas's defense. It's been phenomenal the last couple of years. They're returning almost all the major pieces, Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, Lawrence. So excited about the Cowboys, excited about the Ravens. But of course, who's coming out on top? It's going to be the Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson and Bateman and Flowers and Super Bowl hero Odell Beckham Jr. getting a second ring. I'm all for it this year. Let's do it. 38-31 in the most exciting Super Bowl in several years. We're going to be racing up and down the field.
Oh, my God. You guys' scores, I'm looking at it. It's kind of insane. I find it interesting. Oh, my God. I can't believe you picked the Ravens. I didn't even pick the Ravens. In fact, I'll go next. Because we're keeping it in the AFC North. I think that the Eagles are going to go back-to-back to the Super Bowl and lose. I think they're going again. But this AFC North team, this one is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the Bengals are going back. I think their offense can't be stopped. I think they're going to come in and win. I don't think it's going to be as explosive of a game because these offensive shootout and Super Bowls don't often end up being that way, it feels like. I'm going to go 27-23, Bengals over the Eagles. Super Bowl MVP is going to be Mr. Joey Burrow. So, Bengals, if you don't sign that man to his long-term contract now, oh, my God. It's going to get rough for you next offseason. Bengals beating the Eagles in the Super Bowl in 2023. Lucas. Oh, also, what up, Derek? What up, boy?
Yeah, I see him over here in our comments. So that's.
Yeah, I see. I entirely forgot that we bet 90 targets for Puka Nacua. I still feel pretty safe on that one. If Puka Nacua was the only Ram wide receiver dress and the rest of the wide receiver depth chart was Tom Tipple, Jacob Sanderson, Lucas Gilbert, and Derek Brown, I'm still taking the under on Puka Nacua 90 targets.
Yeah.
Derek, you may say that means that I'm a hater, and I want to clarify that I'm a hater.
Yes, I too will not be drafting Mr. Puka Shells.
I draft him in every single round 18 when I have Matthew Stafford on underdog because I fucking hate myself.
Because I hate myself. Oh my, at least we're self-aware. We're absolutely self-aware. Lucas, give me the Super Bowl pick.
Life's more fun whenever you hate yourself just a little bit.
Yeah.
So
nothing more fun than finishing a Stafford stack with Kyren Williams, Tutu Atwell, and Puka Nacua. I mean, that just feels like that's one of the most fun ways to piss $25 into a river.
Oh, it's absolutely disgusting. Oh.
I had this whole thing, but I can't follow that up. My Super Bowl picks are going to be the Bills and Eagles. From the NFC side, the Eagles, if they don't get to the Super Bowl, it will be a disappointment for them this year. They should be the betting favorites for most of the season to reach it from the NFC side. The Bills, though, in an absolutely loaded AFC, I think they're just due. They've had some tough luck in the playoffs so far, and then last season was just such a huge disappointment for them. They were dealing with so much other stuff going into it, though. I think this is the year they finally get to it. And since it's the Bills in the Super Bowl, it's only fitting that somebody loses back-to-back Super Bowls in this. So I'm going with the Bills winning the 2024 Super Bowl 38-35.
2024?
The Super Bowl will be in 2024.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah,
come on, Tom. Get a calendar.
Jesus.
We didn't do MVP picks on this, did we? Like actual real-life MVP?
No, we went fantasy MVPs this year.
Oh, for the record, my real-life MVP pick is Lamar Jackson. I know that'll shock everyone.
What? No way! I can't believe. Can you believe? I can't believe you picked it. Just kidding. We all fucking knew. Of course, one of our sponsors for the show is Underdog Fantasy. You can go and sign up using promo code FULLTILT, FULLTILT, and play our Underdog Pick'em Plays with us. You can dial it in. I've already put this one in. Yes, I'm cheating because Underdog was so awesome to give you an insane bonus layup of Patrick Mahomes over 0.5 yards. So we're going to take that, quite obviously. We're going to go Jet covering his 19.5 receiving yards. I think that's an easy smash, especially no Kelsey. And Jahmyr Gibbs over 30.5 receiving yards. You can play that and absolutely smash. I think all three of those are a lock.
Yeah, that was wrong to take such an easy pick in half a yard for Patrick Mahomes.
We do it because
that's the gimme one that they're just handing that to you.
Our beautiful sponsors at Underdog are for the people, and they will never not be for the people. I mean, they dropped the puppy for the week before the season starts. They are for the people.
Fair enough. Right.
For the record, I'm just gonna say mine because I can't tell when you guys are talking. I don't know what happened in the last 30 seconds, but I can hear you guys perfectly, but I see you like a minute behind. So sorry if I just rudely interrupt anyone. I can't read your face. Here's the pick that I'm putting with my Patrick Mahomes parlay. I'm sticking with the Ravens, but this is the wet blanket pick. I don't understand this one. Gus Edwards is over under is 35.5 rushing yards. My take from the preseason is that he's not the RB2 on the team. I think Justice Hill is actually the RB2 on the Baltimore Ravens this year.
Yes.
Seems to be the better fit for the Todd Monken offense. So I think that getting under 35.5 Gus Edwards rushing yards, who I think is the third string running back for his team, seems like we're giving away money. So I'm going to go with Gus Edwards under 35.5.
That's spicy considering their matchup. I think that's...
Yeah, but I think first of all, I think Dobbins is clearly going to be the starter. And then I think it's Justice Hill. So they better beat the Ravens. They better beat the Texans by a million for Gus Edwards to get the 9-10 carries he needs to hit that. So that's my grinder pick.
Oh, baby. I do like that. And I agree. I've been big on the Justice Hill train. I was on the last Best Ball Breakdown with Jake Tribby and Chris Wecht, and they completely shot that notion down. It's nice to know that a real sharp, not a hashtag fake sharp, Jake and Chris are in on Justice Hill. I will absolutely tell them I said it.
What's their take on Edwards? Because my take on Edwards is I actually really like Gus Edwards as a player. But I think to me, he's like a, he is a cog built for one wheel, and that is the Greg Roman wheel. Like, he is a guy that can run downhill in a straight line reasonably quickly. And it works really well in the Greg Roman offense where everything is going laterally. And they got, you know, they have Lamar Jackson running the zone read. And there's usually some version of some Devin Duvernay type who's running sideways, and you're moving everybody side to side. And then you just throw a bullet train right down the middle. Like, that to me works.
Yes.
But this is a totally different running scheme now. We're no longer doing this weird Greg Roman, no one else in the NFL does this scheme that Gus Edwards was built for. We're running a real offense now that lives in the real world. And Justice Hill, to me, is the more versatile piece. He has more juice at this point. Gus Edwards is old. He's post-ACL. I don't think Justice Hill is anything like fantastic, but I think he's the more versatile running back they can put in there. He doesn't announce to the world, we're running the ball. Hey, guys, put 9 in the box. We're not throwing. Yeah. So I think that Monken's going to go with him.
I completely agree. I think Gus Edwards was absolutely built for that just run in a straight line style. I think he's been great, a super efficient runner. A lot of people thought he could be a Michael Turner because he was super efficient as a backup. If he only got the job and only got those touches, he's not that special a runner. He's not very explosive. He reminds me a lot of like 2020 Mark Ingram, where he edged out or was kind of edged out. And the reason that Chris and Jake aren't into him is because it's been 3 years. Pretty much we've been waiting for this Justice Hill thing, but he looks healthy and he looks looked phenomenal all preseason. All preseason. And as Derek Brown says, per fantasy points data, bus 4.5 yards per carry on zone touches, 5 in gap. Yeah, I totally agree. Lucas, give me your underdog so we can get out of here.
All right. So in keeping with the same theme that I have for my hot take of the year, I'm going to go with Daniel Jones. Over 204.5 passing yards. I'm really excited to see what this new look Giants offense is going to be. Really excited for Darren Waller. I think that if you were able to do the Daniel Jones, Darren Waller stack on a lot of your teams, you're going to be extremely happy moving forward. There may or may not be money involved with that for me. I'm really hoping for good things. You know, whenever you go big, you go big. And my chips are pretty much all the way in right now on the Giants teams. So we'll see. 204.5 passing yards. I think that's very doable in a week one.
I like that, man. I think I am going to, I'm going to do one of yours. I am going to enter that as soon as we get out of here on Pick'em. And you can too. If you use promo code FullTilt, FULTILT, and they will deposit match you up to $100. You can't beat that underdog. They give you free bets like Patrick Mahomes at 0.5. You absolutely cannot beat that. That's our first show of the year. It's our first show in a long time. Happy to have been back. We're back here Tuesday nights at this time. I don't know what the structure is going to be like moving forward week to week, but I can tell you one thing for sure. It's going to be bloody well entertaining because that's what we give a shit about over here at Full Tilt. Jacob, your Thinking About Thinking is absolutely popping off. What do you have for week one? You did the Hitchhiker's Guide is done. What's next?
Done. Well, the off season version is done. We'll continue down. We'll transition to the in season. But yes, first off, for anyone who might still have a draft or is just curious, we have all of our off season Hitchhiker's Guide posts. So I did a breakdown for 22 different backfields. That includes basically every single backfield that is not clear-cut, that doesn't have a clear-cut workhorse for drafting in the first couple of rounds. We talked through all the different roles that we think that they might have, the talent bets to assess. And then I did a special piece for all the potential backups from those 10 backfields. So basically, we talked about every single running back who's not one of the best running backs in the NFL. Then I went through, I gave out my favorite running backs to target on every platform in every round of the draft. The last thing I'm going to do this week is I'll update my running back tiers for Dynasty. I already have my rankings, of course, posted for subscribers, but I'll have my tiers posted. And for people familiar with my Dynasty running back tiers, I do things a little bit differently. I break every player down into 4 different categories where we talk about their player projected starting production class, their contingent value class, their asset class, and then an age modifier. And we give everybody these tiers, and we give annotated notes on every single player. About halfway through, I'll have those posted, probably before I go to sleep tonight. And then the in-season schedule, what you're going to get, you're going to get 2 Hitchhiker's Guide articles per week. Somewhat similar to last year's, just a little bit more free-flowing. First one is going to be a reactions type post, where we're going to go really quickly through some major usage shifts from the previous week, address if there's any injuries, some waiver priorities. And then it'll be a deeper dive in my later week post, where I'm going to pick probably just 1 or 2 backfields that I thought were really interesting, some players I want to profile. We'll mix a look through the stats with potentially some film clips, and we'll go a little bit deeper and just sort of whoever I think is most interesting to talk about that week from a more conceptual standpoint. So that's going to be the in-season stuff. I will also have, last thing, sorry, I know this took about an hour, Davis Maddock and I will be doing a DFS podcast each week. We're going to be recording that on Thursday mornings. It'll go up either on his podcast platform on Thursdays. It'll also come out. Well, Tom, we can figure out if we want to release that through Full Tilt. Probably would be the easiest. And so that'll go out on that feed as well.
Fantastic. And of course, Lucas is in there with the Devy Show and the Devy Review every week that you can catch here. And we're back, baby. We got more Full Tilt content from a couple of trade episodes, some start sits, and of course you can see everything I'm doing over there at Fantasy Points pretty much anytime you see a notification bell come up from there over on the YouTube. Fantasy Points, we're in there deep in the YouTube game. Look, we can't be here without everyone constantly supporting us. I'm ready for the official third season of in-season podcasting at Full Tilt. This is going to be incredible. I can't wait to absolutely wipe the floor with both Jacob and Lucas in every league that I'm in. I am coming to defend the championships in the leagues that I absolutely smashed Jacob in. Can't let him forget it. All year, defending champ, coming back. We're going back to back. I hope all of your fantasy players play. I hope that you avoid the major injuries. I hope all of your trades work out for you. I hope that Thursday you win the $1 million entries in your DFS slate tournaments. I hope the season is kick-ass for you. It's going to be kick-ass for us. I can't wait. Have fun. Enjoy it. It's finally here. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.